Welcome to Part Time at Lambda School. I am your host, Ira Sanchez, and this is a podcast documenting my experience as a student in Part Time at Lambda School, specifically Web Part Time 3, meaning I'm studying to be a full stack web developer. Most recently, I sort of fell off the face of the earth for a little bit because I got a new job. Prior to that, I was able to make my own schedule, and now I no longer am, although my new job is very fun. I'm working as an assistant teacher for 3 to 6 year olds in a Montessori, and I'm really enjoying it. But after that personal change, then there was a change in my academic life where the small group I was in for Flex, our schedule was changed in order to be reintegrated with the main cohort. I'm not sure entirely why that is, but I'm sure that there's some sort of reason regarding availability of PMs or just the school thinking it's a better idea. But what happened was they decided for my Flex group that we weren't going to do build weeks. Now, if you don't know what build weeks is, there are several scattered throughout the curriculum. And it's a group project where you build an app with students from another cohort or maybe from other tracks, things like that. So that way you get a feeling for what it's like not only working in a team, but working in a whole team where every aspect of building an app is incorporated into the process of creating it, and not just the way it looks or just the JavaScript portion, but also, for example, the UX or making an iPhone version for it or an Android version for it. So instead of doing build weeks, what my cohort is now doing, which I guess is technically on schedule for the main cohort, but is not what was anticipated for the Flex subgroup that I'm in. But now we're working on our labs projects, and this episode is going to be covering my last two sprints. So, if I'm doing labs, I guess I should say first and foremost what labs is before telling you about what doing it is like. Labs is a 10-week-long group project that is divided into 5 2-week-long sprints. This group project is done with a small group from your cohort. You're put into a group. In my case, I was put into a new group, but that may not be the case for you. Something that you should just keep in mind as a student or potential student at Lambda School is that things change a lot. And I noticed that some of the newer students will ask questions about stuff in some of the chat rooms, assuming that some of the older students know what they're talking about. And it's just good to know that there are a lot of changes at the school, and some of the students may not necessarily know what's new versus what things were like when they went through that portion of the curriculum. So you're put into a group, and then your group is given a basic idea of what kind of app you're expected to build. In my case, my group is building a neighborhood library app, and we'll go into a little bit more detail. You're then assigned a project manager and a senior in addition to the main instructor for this module of the curriculum. So my group is building the neighborhood library, and this particular app is going to help people check out books to each other and enable peer-to-peer late fees, so that way you don't have to pester your friends and you just get money when your friends don't give your stuff back. So you're going to have a lot of support. I have a lot of support, but the group is ultimately in charge, specifically of the following things, like how are you going to implement the app? What tech stack are you going to use? And if you don't know what a tech stack is, that's basically developer speak for what programming languages are you planning on using, in addition to are you planning on using any libraries or any additional tools to help you figure things out, to help you build this project? For example, your tech stack might include HTML or React, in addition to some API and some other library, right? Which leads me to the next question. What APIs do you plan to use? In my case, it's, Goodreads, Google Maps, and I'm sure there's another one in there. I've mostly been focusing on Goodreads, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Who on the team is going to build what? and what is it going to look like? And I mean that literally, like, what is the design? Then there are daily stand-ups, and instead of sprint challenges, you have check-ins with the instructor in addition to writing assignments. And I'm going to be putting links to my writing assignments in the show notes. But the daily stand-ups are, some of them are with your project manager, but they're all actually just with your team. So, you know, the first thing that we do when class time comes is that someone has to put a Zoom link into our chat room, you know, so that way we can check in with each other. And if you don't know what a stand-up is just a short meeting where you check in with, you know, what you're doing, what you're stuck on, what you plan on doing, maybe what you've gotten done. And the reason it's called a stand-up is because it's supposed to be efficient and quick enough that everyone can stand up for the entirety of the whole meeting without getting tired, without feeling the need to sit down. So now that we know what labs is, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what my project has been like. So I'm going to call that section Sprint 1, coming up next. All right, so in Sprint 1, I spent the majority of the time planning the project. So the focus is planning the project and beginning to implement it in the form of creating a dummy backend and a dummy frontend. So, and by dummy, I just mean, you know, it doesn't necessarily do anything. It exists, but it doesn't do what you want it to do yet. And so in the beginning, we are given a document, a Google Doc. It's called a canvas, and it has a bunch of prompts that we're supposed to fill out. And these prompts are supposed to help us think some of the things of our project through. For example, we're asked to list what APIs we plan to use, and what calls we plan to make, what our database format is going to, what is our data model, how does that look, and it's ultimately incorporating almost every single module of the curriculum at the same time. And the reason I say almost is because, you know, depending on your tech stack, you might not necessarily use some of the HTML, for example, portions of the curriculum as much. If, for example, my team is using React, so you're going to write things down for later. That's ultimately the point of this document. It gets referenced frequently in my group, but that's you know, with a grain of salt, because what doing this document ultimately taught me is that nothing in this document will stay as it is. So, you know, you can keep it updated, or you can just keep the Trello updated. It seems to be a little bit messy. You have this document, you have the Trello, you have the chat room. And so it's sort of tough to keep all of them up to date when it seems most natural to just say, hey, I'm going to ping you in Slack. But I understand that all of those pings will eventually disappear as more people make messages, and then you'll have to search for them, and that's going to be a huge pain too. And so you have to write it down for later. but that said, it's not the Ten Commandments. Like, it's going to change, and you need to figure out a way to document what those changes are, so that way your team has something to reference that is actually meaningful. So, for example, one of the very first thing that you're going to go through is, first, what is the app? What problem does it solve? How does it solve it? The app we're building is the neighborhood library, like I was telling you about. The problem it solves is not having to pester your friends about not being a responsible adult, and instead making money off of your friend's negligence. then the next question is, how are other apps already doing this, if they are? And if not, what's the closest thing? And so for us, the closest thing is we're sort of inspired by OfferUp and Overdrive due to the location-based peer-to-peer interaction and the book lending features of the. Then you need to ask, what do you need to make it happen? And so you have to really get into the weeds here. Like I was saying earlier, you have to list out the APIs, what plan, you know, what what data model you plan on using, what get calls, post calls, etc. You want to think about literally every part of your app that you plan to build, at least on the most basic level, the most simplistic way to solve the problem. You can add extra features later, but what is the core idea? And then plan the crap out of that. You really want to get into the weeds. It can feel really boring and tedious. I feel like my group was sort of like, okay, let's move on. But some of the confusion we're experiencing now, at least I should say some of the confusion I'm experiencing through the implementation of certain components of the app, I think would have been simplified had we done a better job at planning. That said, it was our first time planning something like this. And so for that reason, I think we were just not aware that we perceived ourselves as planning it more thoroughly than we actually were in the moment. So literally everything, you're going to need to plan it ahead of time. And like I said before, expect it to change because, you know, shocker, your imagination and reality may not match up during implementation and you're going to have to figure things out. It's okay. That said, regarding this portion of the curriculum, I think there is some room for improvement because my group was a little bit confused since the document included an area to plan a project schedule. But then in the curriculum, they have, you know, each sprint has its own requirements of things that we're supposed to get done regardless of the schedule that we've created for ourselves in the Canvas. So, you know, make your schedule based off of the training kit. Don't just make your own thing because ultimately you still have expectations to meet and assignments to complete in order to be considered meeting mastery-based progression. So once you're done planning, then you need to build the back end and the front end. And by you, I mean, that's what we did. Oh my gosh, sorry y'all. By building the back end and front end, I don't mean you have to, that would literally be the whole app. If you had to flesh it out, that's not what I mean. It just the containers, right? So you have to get that server up and running. You have to get your database into existence. And we're using Postgres. We're hosting the back end on Heroku and we're hosting the front end through Netlify. Heroku is costing our team some money, so expect that someone on your team may have to front the bill, but Lambda is reimbursing the team member on our team who's doing this. And so my understanding is this is because the repo that we have connected to it is a group repo, and Heroku charges for group work. So just if that happens to someone on your team, don't be surprised. Postgres was probably the most difficult portion of this section for my team. And then we also used this thing called Faker.js. Faker.js allows you to create, pretend data. And so that allowed us to meet one of the requirements, which was to have 500 data inputs for our database. And in this case, we added 500 users. Now, once you've gotten those things done, you're done with the first sprint. You've planned the project and you've created a place to build that project and see how it's making progress visually so that way you can interact with it. Now that you've done that, we can go ahead and get the APIs connected so that way, you know, we're not just building something visual. We can test it as we build it, and we have its functionality in mind as we build the visual portions. Like I said, Sprint 2 mostly focused on getting the APIs connected. My team is using Google Maps, Stripe, and Goodreads APIs, and my job since the beginning of this last sprint has been to focus on implementing the Goodreads features and functionality. So it's been tough because Goodreads returns data in an XML format, and not only am I new to APIs, I've never connected to a real API by myself. let alone parse out data from one format to another. And to be frank, I'm not even entirely sure I understand what parse means, but it seems to mean like the computer is reading, going line by line. And that's just based on context clues. I suppose I could just we have the internet, y'all. I really could just look it up. But yeah, so I've been perusing the internet for a lot of tutorials, and that's been a huge lifesaver for me, is just the tutorials that are available. There's one tutorial by someone, I believe his name is Rem, and that was pretty helpful, except he builds an app with Redux, and so I had to sort of reverse engineer some of his ideas. And also just tutorials in mind, like everyone builds their stuff differently, so you just have to be aware of knowing what you're looking for and seeing if it's connected similarly, and knowing what to ignore and what to take from someone else's wisdom, because it comes as a result of a practice that may not be the same as yours. So this is an example, just the Goodreads in general is an example of how labs will take you outside of the Lambda curriculum and into the real world. You know, it doesn't matter whether or not it's hard. If you want to build something or interact with a separate API, you just have to figure out how they do it, and you have to figure out what needs to be done. And it doesn't matter if it was in the curriculum or not. Like, if your app does that and you want it to do that, and there's only certain APIs that exist, like, you have to figure it out. We could have used the Google Books API, and I honestly considered switching after having several days of difficulty with the Goodreads API, but I decided against it because of the sunk cost fallacy. You know, I fell for it. Okay. I was like, I've put in so much effort and time. I don't want to waste that time. I'm going to figure this out. And you know what? Now it's displaying a list of searched books. APIs that are built by other people have limitations, and those constraints have been forcing me to be creative and may force you to be creative too. For example, Goodreads does not have a get all books, you know, call, if you will. In order to return a list of books, I first have to put in a search input. And so it's just a little bit different. The search results come in the form of pages and not just one large body of data. And I've never done anything like that before. So I have to figure that out or decide whether or not the second page is even worth it. Frankly, for now, I've decided it's not. Because I don't think the vast majority of people are going to thumb multiple pages in for books that they already own that are physically in their lap as they're putting in an ISBN number, for example. One thing that's been really helpful for me is referring to past API projects. For example, these single page application projects are good refreshers on front end API calls, and the back end API calls are in the API section. Yeah, there's an entire section in the curriculum dedicated to learning how to build APIs, but before that, you've already connected to outside APIs through React on the front end to build things like Smurf lists, i.e. a list of Smurfs. So those have been very helpful, and I highly recommend taking the time to complete your projects. You know, they become notes for the future. And if you haven't, that's okay. You know, there are solutions often in GitHub, not always, but check for a solution branch in GitHub if you're super, super stuck. Do not rely on it, because you need to exercise your own brain muscles and build those brain synapses in order to think like a developer, which is the important thing. The important thing is not memorizing everything. The important thing is understanding how you can manipulate data as if it were clay, you know, using code. So you just have to, once you know what you need to do, then you can look that up, but you can't look it up if you don't understand what you're doing, right? So in other news, we recently had a meetup, and it was really exciting. Over the weekend, we had our monthly Lambda meetup, And this month we went to this place called The Department. And Lambda always buys the food at our meetups, which is a really good reason to go if you are broke like me. So I say take advantage of it. No matter how shy you are, free food is free food. You don't have to talk to anybody. You know, someone will eventually talk to you, and you should be polite back, obviously. But I wouldn't worry about it. Not everyone is a social butterfly, and there's no pressure to be one, is what I'm getting at. But this time, they gave us shirts and free headshots in addition to catering Chipotle, so that was really cool. And I'm starting to feel like I'm more of, you know, I'm a part of a community rather than just a member of a chat room. When I first began at Lambda, I was very quiet, in part because I'm a little curmudgeonly, and when I see people break rules, I get grumpy. And I saw some folks break rules in the very beginning or whatever, and now I'm just getting more used to what being at Lambda is like and getting more used to the culture of Lambda. And now that I'm more used to it, I fit in a little bit more, I feel like, and I'm just really enjoying these meetups and getting to talk to people because I'm not. I think I'm just much more pleasant in person than I am online. Or maybe not in person, but like I think I'm more pleasant over video or like face to face or, you know, some place where you can see body language and not just read text. There's something about the specific words I use when I speak that by themselves seem almost like abrasive or potentially insulting. But when you incorporate my personality, then somehow it becomes a bit more charming and pleasant. And so it makes it easier to be seen the way I intend it, you know, the way my messages are intended to be sent, if you will, when body language is incorporated. And like I said, I've just been feeling like I'm more part of a community, and I'm really enjoying it. It's been a lot of fun. The department is really cool. It's a really beautiful space. They have mouthwash and stuff in the bathroom for you. It's really nice. It's a co-working space in downtown at, gosh, I think it's not One North Central, but one, you know, like One North First Street, something like that. First Street in Washington, above Kaleidoscope, if you're interested in checking it out. And on that note, there's other cool stuff. That I've experienced as a result of labs and just over the last sprint. One cool resource that was given to us by our instructor is the Marvel app, spelled like the comic book, you know, series. It's really cool because it makes it so you don't have to overload your brain and memorize the walkthrough of your app, you know, and you don't really have to sketch it out either. You can use this app to sketch it out, and it incorporates links and buttons and like little animations and things like that. It doesn't have to be pretty. It just lets you think through how the different components of your app are going to be connected in a way that's a little bit more dynamic and tangible than your mind, and, you know, i.e. just your imagination. It's also easier to refer back to in the, you know, later on than your memory is. So that's really cool, and I've been enjoying checking it out, and I'm sort of playing with personal projects in it in addition to my labs project. But yeah, 10 out of 10 recommended. Also, it's free. I'm sure that there's a version you have to pay for, but I don't know. I haven't had to do that. So, yeah, so I'm enjoying that. Thanks for being free, Marvel app. In the next episode, we're going to be going over the third sprint of labs. That's in about a week. We're expected to have MVP of features completed, meaning it's allowed to look absolutely hideous, but it is expected to do everything that it can, you know, it's supposed to do. I'm a little nervous. I wasn't nervous at the beginning of last week, but I'm getting a little nervous about the ability of my team to do that now, just because we've been having some trouble with connecting to the Google Maps API. I don't know if you can hear my dog very loudly drinking water, but he and I share a room, and I love him very much, so I don't make him go away when I record things. So you're just gonna have to suffer with me. But yeah, so we have to have MVP of features done. I wasn't nervous, but I'm a little nervous since we only have one more week left, and one of my team members has been very, very helpful in helping me navigate the creation of the database and helping connect to it, and you know, and that stuff. So before, he was working on sort of that portion while I was working on something different, and now our needs are converging. So now I'm back to working in a team. On day one, we used the VS Code Live Share extension, which allows you to work on something like, it's like Google Docs or something. So that's pretty cool. And we did that at the very beginning just to bang out the skeleton of the app. Then, since we started focusing on just the APIs, we've all been sort of separate in that way, just to make sure that we can all focus on the plethora of things we need done. And since those things are beginning to get done, we're coming back together again slowly but surely. And I'm sort of excited for that because I like teamwork. Yeah, you know, I think it's a lot of fun. Sure, I can do things by myself. I like doing things by myself too. That's cool. But it's always nice to work in a good team. And our team's been doing a good job. I've been really impressed. Our whole team is made up of Flex students who skipped build weeks, except for one person who his last team all dropped out during labs. So he's redoing it because his team disappeared. So our team is basically, you know, like the misfit trolls that live under the bridge. We're not necessarily the poster children of the school or whatever or anything like that, but because of that, I'm really proud of the work that we've gotten done so far, because it's been especially challenging for a lot of us, because most of us have had no experience before in the group. And even if we did have experience, we are, you know, part of the group of people who need more time with the curriculum. And so we got pushed out of the nest really fast, and I'm pretty proud of ourselves for our attempt to fly. And I feel like we're actually like gliding a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not worried about a crash landing, but it's like, it's also a little ugly, you know, like it's sort of like, is that bird flying or is it flailing? But we're still in the air, that, you know, and that's the most important part, and I'm really enjoying it. So on that note, you're gonna find out whether or not we make it, and if not, hey, we still have two more sprints to go, and that, you know, it just is what it is. We have to get it done. Fingers crossed, pedal to the metal. Fingers on the, well, I guess if our fingers crossed, they can't also be on the keyboard, so just fingers on the keyboard. And yeah, we just gotta hustle and get it done. So looking forward to keeping you updated. Also, if you could wish me good luck, I'd appreciate it. Anyway, thanks y'all, and I'll keep you updated. See you next time on Part Time at Lambda School, and thanks for your support.